Five counties, one big sports show.
Sports Beat Roundup.
We start this Saturday evening with the story of a side fulfilling a county dream of a different kind. Semple Stadium may only be a stone's throw away from the presentation school in Thurles, but the importance of basketball to the region cannot be overestimated. To not have a Super League team in the county was a sore spot for years, until now, with Tipperary Knights, it's finally been healed. I spoke to Captain Rosie Tobin and US import Courtney Strait, but first, Martin Hare, head coach.
So there's a big tradition of basketball in school in Tipperary, going back over 20, 25 years. Thurles, Care, Cashel, Tipperary Town, places like that have been working away at that level. So what we've seen over that period of time is finding an outlet for people to continue playing after they leave school. So at local level, 15, 16 years ago, we set up this club with the view of having a team that would play at National League level. And this year, we're lucky enough to have a bunch of dedicated girls who went after that goal. They won the Kilkenny South East League Division 1 League and Cup Double last year. So I suppose that gave them a platform then to move on to national level. The national level is conference, but you do get to play on a national level because you play the other conference home or away. So you get a kind of a good mix of Belfast to Galway to Dublin to Limerick to Tipperary to Portlaoise for us. Great experience for the girls, great experience for us as a club. The big factor for us, I guess, is people can come to games and see basketball being played at a high level. And even for the coaches who are coaching juvenile teams and club, that's a big factor for them.
I suppose you are very much in the heart and soul, not just being in Tipperary, but you are in the heart and soul of Tipperary GAA as well. I mean, we're a stone's throw here away from one of the biggest grounds in the country. How have you found competing with that?
Yeah. I guess it's a huge challenge. Financially, the Tipperary GAA is very well organised. I suppose if we were to pick a year to go into the National Basketball League, we picked a bad year with the success that the guys were having. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are willing to support us. A lot of people put their hands in their pockets to get us to this stage. We wouldn't be here without them. That's, you know, it's super for us. On the sports side of it, player specific, I guess there are a few people who are involved in camogie and ladies football that we thought might come our way for basketball. Unfortunately, we didn't get everybody we wanted. But, you know, I understand that as people get older, they've got jobs, they've got family, they've got a commitment. We're lucky to have the people we have here who are so committed.
Is that a difficulty? I suppose the two main difficulties always when you go national level are first finances and secondly travel. Those are always the two biggest ones. How have you managed those two?
I think we've been very lucky with the financial side of it, that we've a group of people who've worked very hard at making sure that this year was successful from that point of view. And the travel part of it is a big challenge because we have a very different team between older players and younger players, and getting younger players off a bus is a greater challenge than getting older players off a bus and making sure they have their legs underneath them. But I think, you know, so far so good. I'm very pleased with the progress of how we've played. We've had two difficult trips on the road, but they were against two very good teams. I'd be more interested in seeing what happens the next time we go on the road against those teams. How can we cope better the next time? And it is a learning curve for us, there's no doubt about that.
And I suppose one of the nice things about being one of the older members of the squad is your input that you have, not just on the court, but also in terms of running things, especially when you're such a new club. It must be very exciting as a player to be able to give your input. And I suppose, you know, you're talking about constant improvement, improving the club, how they organise themselves, how things are done.
Yeah. I suppose there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes before we even started the season. Martin and a few on the team, we kind of got together a few fundraisers and that beforehand. So just financially, it was a big step for the club as well. So we had to make sure there was a bit of money in the bank to get us going. But yeah, like, we have a couple of things going on now outside of the off the court as well, just for team bonding and things like that. So it seems to be going well and we're all clicking really well, and yeah, we're hopefully it shows on the court.
What would you say, even just in the first five games, what lessons have you learned as a team or as an individual playing nationally?
Oh, minutes program.
Okay, where do I start? I suppose just to have confidence in myself, first of all, and in the team. I mean, Martin has put in place a great system of, you know, plays and training and schedule like that. So just having confidence in ourselves and trying to maybe, you know, portray that to the younger girls as well, that we're well able to compete now. We've shown that we can beat teams and there's no reason why we can't hold our own in the league. So, yeah, trying to put that forward, yeah.
Courtney, how does a girl from Iowa end up in a secondary school in Tipperary playing basketball?
It's kind of a long story, but long story short, I put my highlight tape out from my season in Croatia last season, and one of Martin's friends just happened to stumble across it in Missouri, and they contacted me, and they're like, hey, this guy, this coach in the middle of Ireland wants you to come play on their team because he saw your video. And I was like, all right, where do I sign? So I was in Zagreb, which is the capital city of Croatia. So size-wise, it was a big difference. But where I went to university in the United States was a smaller town, Kirksville, Missouri. And in terms of like the mindset, very family-oriented, is also reflected in my hometown in the Midwest, in the United States anyway. So from that aspect, it honestly hasn't been too much of a culture shock.
I say this too, because we, you know, there's a few Southeast teams and normally there is an export or an American expert that comes into the team. They always bring something a bit different. Have you noticed that? There's always a kind of a, I don't know, is it a razzmatazz or a kind of a bit of flair or a bit of confidence that they always bring? Do you get that sense?
I suppose so. I remember like my first couple weeks coaching here, I would talk to some of the girls and they'd like give me a double take because of the accent. But in terms of like what I can bring to the table, I just know that because I'm a professional, it's my job to go the extra mile, to put everything out there and to hold myself to a higher standard and hold myself in a professional manner that can hopefully reflect back on the girls as well.
I remember sitting downstairs at one of the first meetings and people kind of were looking at us thinking, you know, these guys are mad, like they're not going to win a game. But once you get down and the league starts and you start to look around you, you kind of think that, you know, we have the same qualities as everybody else. You know, it's really down to hard work and talent and sacrifice and dedication. And I had to find a foreign player who had all those qualities and that's, I guess we were happy to find Courtney on the basis of that. We're absolutely blessed to have the support of the Presentation Secondary School and the facilities that they put our way. They're top class facilities. They're 100% behind us going into the league. We really couldn't have done it without their support.
We definitely have, I suppose, role models, and we're providing a role model now for people in our own community coming up through the schools. And like when I played in Australia for a few years. When I came back, there was no club in Tipperary. Like I was down in Cork playing with Brunel for a year. So it's great now that Tipperary has its own team and the girls can aspire to play, and it's a realistic goal for them to play National League. So hopefully the team continues for years to come. It is brilliant. And I know Martin has wanted to get this up and running for years. And like he's been one of the major drivers for this. So it's great that we had a bunch of players that were kind of half ready to play. And, you know, we're building all the time and improving and getting fitter and stronger. And I think having Courtney there is great. Like her basketball mind and just her, I suppose, experience, she's bringing that to the team as well. So we're all learning and yeah, hopefully we can improve from there.
And I suppose finally, Martin, the big question on everybody's lips now is the potential of this club. You've kind of settled in a small bit, but where can you see you guys going in the next maybe 5-10 years? Like, are we talking, you know, can we start competing at some of the teams in Cork?
Yeah, I think that the potential is enormous. There's a very strong group of people at committee who are behind the club and put a lot of time into the organisation of the club. We have from under-8s to under-10s to under-12s to under-14s, we've bumper crowds of kids turning up looking to play. I think the biggest challenge for us is to become more basketball aware this year and to take advantage of what's happened this year from the basketball side of you. And if the kids play more basketball and if they get more coaching at a better level and they set themselves goals, who knows? Like, we have competed at under-18 national level over the years with, you know, pretty much younger teams that have lesser experience and done fairly well. But it is a big challenge, definitely in Tipperary. It is a big challenge. But I think that the potential is enormous. It really is.
Following the Carlow Rising
Sports Beat Roundup.
History is quietly on the lips of one Carlow Town club. A 28th county title, their third in a row, came the way of Airog a few weeks ago. But a first Leinster football final since 1998 makes this Sunday's game pronounced in hushed tones. With five Leinster titles, the YIs have the pedigree going into their AIB Leinster Senior Club football final against Ballyboden St. Enda's. But the Dublin club on form are still the favourites. However, for Airog, Sean Gannon, speaking to Mara Trasany Callig, 2019 has already been a bumper year for Carlow clubs.
It's been a fantastic year for our clubs, I suppose. And having Marty up here is a nice bonus. We got on well with each other. St Mullins, I suppose, are a little bit different to us. Their parish is a lot smaller than ours. And they probably even struggle like to field the 13s and 15s, have to bring up their 11s and 13s to make up teams. So it's outrageous what they're doing, especially. And they've every chance Sunday, and we're looking forward to heading to it.
I was talking to a few players from other counties and clubs, and they always say the same thing. You'd be a fool to discount a Carlow side, especially from a club, because you guys tend to come along with surprises and weapons, as we've seen over the years, and even recently you just discussed there St Mullins and what they did to Cool a few months ago. Yourselves now, Airog, you've a richer history than most in Carlow.
Just the Leinster Championship has a huge power to play with Airog people. Having won five Leinsters and growing up, because I would have grown up at that time. Now, actually, one of the players, Jordan Marcy, who plays alongside me, is a lot younger, and he was asking me, was I playing the last time? We were in the final in 98. I said, I think I was under 10 at the time, Jordan. But look, I don't know what it is. Getting out of Carlow can be quite difficult. And when we do, we really look forward to this competition. And it's great that we're on a bit of a run this year. I think it was 5 years before we won the championship. So we hadn't been in the competition, and it's been 10 years until we beat Newtown last year. It was 10 years before Carlow had won a game in the Leinster Championship at a football level, which was disappointing and a bit of a shock, I suppose, to us. Because like in 2007 and 8, like, we made semi-finals and that kind of thing. No road beat us in 8 and Turles Pass beat us in 7. But we felt like we've been there. A lot of players were around that time. We've been there. We have something to add to it. But we just kind of came up against Mullinocta, and in fairness, they proved that they were a very good team. And especially maybe last year, things didn't go our way and we got people sent off early, which we've learned from. And we've learned from Mullinocta, I suppose. So what we learned from the Mullinocta game was how physical they were, especially around the middle. And we realised we weren't there yet. And obviously our discipline was an issue that day. So we've learned from both of those things, and we're now physically stronger. We haven't had anyone sent off, and hope that continues. But again, playing Ballyboden will be a step up. Like Mullinocta were a physical team, but Ballyboden, I've watched them a couple of times now, and we actually played them earlier on in the year in a challenge game, and we had a really good battle. But they're different gravy, I suppose. They're massive and they've a huge pick, so it'll be interesting. But again, it's our parish against their parish, and this means a lot to us. And it sure does to them, so we'll see how it goes. Now look, we understand we'll be underdogs, like there's nothing we can do about that, but we're looking forward to that. And we'll go in as underdogs, but we won't be lacking confidence in our own ability anyway. And we'll give Ballyboden as much as they want of it, I suppose, and we'll see what happens come the end.
Yeah, you're certainly not lacking any confidence as a club, and also the parish around you, because we've seen in the last few months for both hurling and football, Carlow parishes have mobilised and they've really travelled to support their teams, and that shows the importance of the club championship.
Yeah, it's huge. And I suppose in Airog we've lost a couple of members this year, and their families have been going through hard times and that kind of stuff, but keeping it going, like we're going till the 8th of December now, it's making the winter shorter for them. The Christmas, after the 8th, Christmas will be upon them, and they're probably not worrying about things. And an awful lot of people, every family in the place has worries, and this is kind of helping that. It's giving them something to look forward to. They know they can come down to the club and there's going to be community there and people there and they can talk to, and that's brilliant. And I suppose for the players getting to a final, like I said, that Leinster holds something really, really big in our hearts, but for the people and the supporters, it's been huge as well, and that's great to be able to do that and have the ability to do that is something that I suppose it's a bit of a responsibility, and we're happy to continue doing it.
Finally, a lot of inter-county footballers and hurlers, they often say to me, they play for their county, but they come home for their club. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I suppose I would. Like, Carlow's a little bit different. We are smaller, and the county team is, we're all from a very close area, we know each other very well. But when you get an opportunity to actually play with your childhood friends, like the goalkeeper Ricky, for example, be one of my best friends from school, and this is kind of first year really cementing his place in the team, so it's fantastic to be able to play with him. But that goes throughout the team. Like, we've been together, a huge group of us, for 10, 13, 14 years. So there's something really special about that.
Sean Gadden from Ada Oak, the very best of luck in the AIB Leinster Club final.
Thanks a million. Following the Cats, Sports
Beat Roundup. A shot in the arm for Kilkenny hurling this week after a surprise 2019 on the pitch, with the news that non-for-profit healthcare provider UPMC will sponsor Nolan Park for the next 10 years. It's a further commitment from the provider, whose Irish base is at Whitfield in Waterford, after being announced as the health and wellbeing partner of the GAA and Gaelic Players Association. Stadium naming rights are a relatively new phenomenon in Gaelic games, but as ever, the Cats are at the forefront, as they were in last year's championship until All-Ireland final day itself, as manager Brian Cody himself admits.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, it didn't go to the final whistle, that's for sure. You know, you could, the game was done and dusted, I suppose, maybe whatever, 10 minutes or so to go. The second half, we were under pressure. The second half, we found it difficult in the second half. Unfortunately, we had started very, very well right in the game for certain, and obviously then, you know, things changed, and that's as it went. Look, I mean, there was no expectation at all from the general public, from, I suppose, in fairness, our own supporters would have felt that we weren't going to get as far as we got, I suppose, really. But I mean, we don't look on it like that. I don't look on it like that. We go out every year starting off with an ambition to be as successful as we possibly can. That's what we did last year, and that's the way it'll be for the coming year as well.
Usually an All-Ireland final would be seen as success for most other counties, but as Owen Murphy knows well, things are different in the Marlborough County.
When you don't win an All-Ireland, I think the year is a bit of a waste, and we didn't win an All-Ireland this year, so whatever finals we've got into or anything like that, whatever progress we've made throughout the year, it's still a waste at the end of the day, because you didn't win the McCarthy Cup. And you know, I've said it before, the only two teams that are remembered at Christmas time is Tipperary and Dublin, or whoever actually wins the All-Ireland in that year. And you know, they're deserved winners. And look, as I mentioned, you know, it started the interview, as far as I'm concerned, 2020 has started now, and just looking forward to that and genuine excitement for it. And really looking forward to the first game. You're straight back into the club, so you don't really have a chance. Look, you have your couple of days, I suppose, to maybe get over the defeat, or, you know, celebrate the result, whatever the case it is, after the All-Ireland. But, you know, you're keen to make sure you get back and, you know, help out the club as well. So we were back training early enough, I think it was on the Thursday night, and it was good to just sort of mentally retune and refocus on something other than, you know, the couple of days before that. So you have a couple of weeks between, we'll say, the club season, inter-county season. You know, if you win the All-Ireland, you might look back on it fondly, and if you don't win it, you just sort of want to park it and move on. Genuinely, that is the case. And, you know, if you dwell on it too much, I think, you just mentally won't be prepared for the following year. And look, I'm long enough hurling now, I suppose, that certainly now, look, maybe when I was a couple of years younger, I'm definitely mature enough now in my own game and stuff like that I can just park it to one side when it's needed and move on. And obviously, if you need to think about a certain scenario, if you made a mistake and stuff, where you can improve on, you have to think about that. Like, but those defeats and stuff, you just want to, you know, ship to one side and get ready for next year. If you're happy with what happened last year, I don't think you're used to any use the Kilkenny setup or to Brian or anyone like that. So you have to be constantly improving and stuff like that. And yeah, so look, as I said earlier, just really looking forward to 2020. And, you know, we've been doing a small bit of gym work and stuff like that. Yeah, so look, just really excited.
And for Cody, who is ratified for another year in 2020, the desire to win is still burning strong. He says there is absolutely no temptation from the usual post-retirement distractions.
I've total freedom, obviously, to decide that for myself, you know, and I mean, there's nothing stopping me deciding to do those things if I wanted to do them. So obviously, I haven't reached the stage where I want to do that yet. There's more to life than being out and wherever it might want to be. Life goes on. I've been involved in this for a long time. I've been involved in hurling all my life, obviously, sport, dealing with young players, dealing with players. You could be doing a hell of a lot worse. Sports Beat Roundup on
Beat 102-103. That's all for this week's Sports Beat Roundup. You can listen back on our SoundCloud at Beat 102-103. Now, Trish has the soundtrack to your Saturday night. She's up next with Beat Anthems.